read it, and maybe somewhere down the line it'll get a hold of him. He said, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And I prayed that God would give him some Christian young men to be around him, that he would stand for God, and he wouldn't run from serving the Lord. Amen. So just pray for Tyler this morning, pray for his family, and as he's leaving. All right, Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans 16, 17. And we're talking about doctrine. And I said this last week, you know, most Christians don't know what they believe. Most people don't know what they believe. They just go along with whatever's said, whatever's done, and they don't know their Bible. They don't know anything about the Bible. So the Bible just after Sunday, if they carry it to church, most people today don't even carry a Bible to church. And then after church, they just throw it in the window of the truck or car or whatever they're driving, and they leave it there till next week. And they go back and they blow the dust off of it and come back and then try to learn something. And they expect the preacher to be the one to give them everything all the time. But it's not that way. It should be as you should be able to try to feed yourself. Now, in Romans chapter 16, it says, verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. And by good words, fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, for I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Being wise unto that which is good, just simple when it comes to evil. Don't learn about all the evil. Even there's enough that you take in every day. It says, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet." And he will. The one day the Bible says the Lord, the devil is going to bow down before Jesus Christ. And Isaiah says, and the people are going to say, "Is this the man that caused and shaped the nations and all that?" And he's going to come in and bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Right, all the other so-called gods are going to bow down to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we're going to be in heaven going, "Yeah! Hallelujah." And it says, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Shortly, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Timothy, my fellow, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sopater, my kinsmen, salute you. I Terrace, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, salute you. Erastus, the Chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Quartus, a brother. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, now known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Now last week we started out talking about doctrine. And it's important. Most churches don't have any doctrine. They don't know what they believe, why they believe it. Around here, we have a doctrinal statement. We have what we believe, what the Bible teaches, and what we believe. It's not what the Baptists believe. There's Baptists believe all kinds of stuff, but we believe the Bible, and we call ourselves Bible believing Christians. That's what we are, and we believe the King James Bible being the Word of God, and we have a reason behind that. And so one of the things that we believe, like last week, I said, what is one of the doctrines that we believe? And Brother Hughes, Huff, he raised his hand. He says salvation. So we went through a whole thing about salvation. But I want to show you about doctrine. What doctrine is something taught as a principle or a creed of a religion, a teaching. And Jesus Christ came along, he started teaching, and they said, "What's this new doctrine that he's teaching?" And they said, "What's this that he's teaching?" And he taught in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Love your enemies, do good unto them that despitefully use you." There was a boy, I've told you this story, there was a boy in Israel that was arrested. His father was the head of Hamas, and he was arrested. He was a Muslim. And this boy was arrested for throwing rocks at the Israeli soldiers, and they wondered they didn't shoot him. So he's in a jail, and he said he found himself not hating the Jews. And then he comes out, and he goes down through Old Jerusalem. I've been through Old Jerusalem. And he said somebody stepped out. And now being at Old Jerusalem, being there, I said, man, I can see it. Somebody stepped out and gave him a flyer and said, hey, we have a Bible study on, you know, Thursday night or Wednesday night or whatever. Would you come? And he thought in his mind, because there's a lot of Muslims. I was in Old Jerusalem. There's a lot of Muslims. They're selling the wares, and Jews are selling the wares and all that. And he said, sure, I'll find out. We'll find out where they're at so we can kill them or do something to them. And so he goes to this Bible study, and he sits there, and they read the Bible in Matthew where Jesus taught, love your enemies, do good to. He said, read that again. He said, I've never heard that in my life. After three or four times going to the Bible study, he gets up getting saved. And they had to get him out of the country for his protection. And so he ends up getting saved, and he said that what stuck him was love your enemies. He's all my life, all I've heard was get your enemy first, get your enemy first, get your enemy first. So doctrine is important, and Jesus taught a doctrine. Go to Matthew chapter, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Matthew 7, 28. Doctrine is important. To know what you believe and why. And have the goods to back it up. You need to back up what you believe. Not just to shut somebody up to kill them, but to give them the scripture to help them. Amen. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. As Christians, what we're supposed to do is give people, be able to give life. Religion gives death. Religion always does give death. Salvation gives life. Jesus Christ gives life. It's up to you. What do you want? Well, you want death or you want life? And all the groups are singing about death, and they get mega death and all kinds of death stuff and killing. And you see killing every day and on the news, in Philadelphia, everywhere. It's all giving death. Right. But what about somebody giving somebody life?
Yeah.
Giving eternal life. Jesus Christ gives eternal life, but giving them the words of eternal life. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Look at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever shall hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man, he says, which buildeth his house upon a rock. Jesus Christ talking about the foundation. If your foundation is no good, you've built upon your what you believe is built upon sand, desert. If it's built upon sand, it's not going to stand at all. I like this. When I saw the rock, it made me think back last night what Brother Grady was saying. I seen that, the rock. And, that was good stuff. That was good. And it says in the verse 25, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth the house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribe. So doctrine is important to know what you believe, why you believe it. That's why we have Sunday school, so you learn what you believe, why you believe it. And instead of just taking some man's word for it. Look at verse chapter 16 of Matthew. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 12. Back up to about verse 10. That's not it. Jesus Christ is talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so on. And look, back up to verse 6. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do ye not understand, neither remember for the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The doctrines. So doctrine is a teaching and what they teach and what they believe. And you got people teaching all kinds of stuff. You got people teaching evolution, teaching all kinds of different things, and it's just a lie. I said the Mormon church is built upon a lie. Amen. Isn't that crazy? The Mormons, I was telling them last night on the way back over, I got a videotape, a DVD of from the Mormons itself, where the Brigham Young University, they got this new, in their university, they wanted to expand their university, so they got into DNA testing. They got into forensic science. So they got in forensic science, and they started DNA testing. And so they could take your DNA to trace you back to where you've, and see, the Mormons teach that their church was founded upon the scripture, and that they came, they're the lost tribe of the tribe of Ephraim. How many of you ever heard this before? They teach that they came from the tribe of Ephraim. That means they're Jewish, right? If they came from the tribe of Ephraim, that means they're all Jewish, all the leaders. So they taught that. And they've been teaching that for years and years and years, teaching they're from the tribe. And then if they don't know their Bible, when the Bible says Ephraim have turned them to idols, leave them alone. And Hosea said, Ephraim is going to idols, leave them alone. But if they were Jews, if they really were Ephraim. And so they did the DNA testing on some of the elders of the Brigham Young University, and they found out there's no Jewish blood at all in any of them. They went back to Brigham Young's ancestors, or their, his descendants, and they started doing DNA testing on them, and Brigham Young claimed he was a Jew from the tribe of Ephraim. So there's no Jewish blood in none of them. So then they said, what does that do for you? They said, well, our whole faith has been built upon a lie. Amen. It's a lie. Amen. So I had these Mormons come to the house. They always want to show you a video. I said, I'll watch your video. I got a video for you to watch. They said, what do you got? I said, don't be afraid. You never have to be afraid of the truth, do you? When you got the truth. And they said, what do you got? And then they wanted to know. Finally, I told them, I said, I got a videotape. They said, I don't want to watch that. They took off. I said, wait a minute, man. You said you had a 30-minute video. I'll watch yours. Come on. Chicken? Little chickens? And you got all these religions based upon a lie. You got the Catholic Church teaching that Mary was a perpetual virgin. They teach that. They believe that. There's so many lies that the Catholic Church is stirred up and brought up. There's a big lie. It's all built upon a lie. You know, Peter was the first pope. How many of y'all have ever heard that?
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Amen.
It's a barefaced lie. Jehovah's Witnesses, a guy named Russell. Also, the guy who started the Mormon Church was Joseph Smith, and he claims he got these tablets from the angel Moroni. And 600 wing angel called Moroni, first name Macaroni. And you got stuff that built upon a lie. Jehovah's Witnesses, they built their religion on there's no hell. We call them no hellers. They have no hell. And look down to Matthew chapter 16. Look what Jesus said. And they try to say there is no hell. And you know, and what's the worst place anybody would tell you to go? Go to hell. That's the first place they tell you. Oh, go to hell. The worst place they can imagine, think, hell. And look at verse 17 of Matthew 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art called Peter, and upon this rock, talking about the rock himself. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of what?
Hell.
Shall not prevail against it. Go to Matthew 25, talking about hell. There is a hell. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain.
Amen.
Matthew 25. And Matthew 25, verse 41. 40, back up to 40. Matthew 25, 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, in so much as ye have done it unto one of these least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then they shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who?
Devil and his angels.
Devil and his angels. Hell wasn't prepared for man. When people say, why does God let people go to hell? Hell wasn't prepared for man. Man makes a choice.
Right.
If you're here today, you make a choice whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. It's just like going down to the airport. You're not going to walk in the airport and say, I'm getting on that plane. No, you better have a ticket. When you get saved, you better have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you get saved. And the devil and his angels, that's what hell was made for. So you need to know doctrine. Now, we believe in hell.
Amen.
I believe in hell hot, heaven real, man. And if there is no hell, folks, think about it. Jehovah's Witnesses, there is no hell. Mormons, they don't really believe there's a hell. The Catholic Church says, oh, you're just going to purgatory. You can buy your way out.
Yeah.
You can get your way out. Buy it out. If there's no hell, what we're doing today is stupid.
Right.
It's just all vain.
Yeah.
Being in church, hearing the word of God, this is stupid.
Yeah.
There is no hell. But there is a hell.
Amen. Amen.
You need to stay away from it. I got saved. I'm not worried about going to hell now. You say, well, if you quit preaching, will you go to hell? No. If I turn my back on God and say, I ain't going to serve you no more, I'm just going to go live. You said, well, that ain't right. I'm still saved.
Right.
I just might get to heaven sooner than what I thought. Doctrine is important to know what you believe. So look at chapter 22 of Matthew. Let's look at it again. 22:33, talking about doctrine. And the New Testament, you say, well, that's just Jesus talking about it. We'll get into the New Testament here in a minute. 22:33. And it says, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. And what was he talking about? The same day, verse 23, came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him. The Sadducees, they don't believe in it. They were Sadducees. They were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And we believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
We talk about that at the funeral the other day. On that resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. We're going to rise, brother.
Amen.
We're going, Jesus Christ is going to come back like Superman. And he's a real hero, amen, superhero, real one. And all these other fakes, made up, he's a real one. He can fly. I'm going to fly one day. I ain't going to have a cape on, though. Verse 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed on his brother. That's the law. That was the law. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, which he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, now how would you like to marry your brother's wife? And she gets passed down through seven of them. They made this up, though. They made it up. And it says, now there was seven brethren, and the first, he had married a wife and deceased, having no issue, left his wife unto his brethren or his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, and the set unto the seventh. The last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, they were mocking. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered, said unto them, ye do err. Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.
Amen.
That's why it's important to know the scriptures, man. It says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So it's important to know doctrine. Now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Ephesians 4. This is kind of just helped to establish about doctrine, why it's important. Most churches don't believe hardly any doctrine at all. They don't have it. Kaylee was telling me last night, on the way, telling us all last night, she said, what'd you say about your grandma? She said her grandmother said she was saved because an angel came and talked to her. Now, We all know that ain't right. So what if an angel did? Well, I wouldn't trust him. And she said the things that she's been learning, the things she's been studying the scriptures, she said they've never taught that. And they don't teach doctrine, teach things about why is it what we believe, why do we believe it? Not just going on blind faith.
Amen.
I don't want to live my life, my Christian life, on blind faith because the preacher said so.
Right.
You know, a lot of people live like that.
Right.
You should learn your Bible, know what the Bible says. And if you have a question, you misapply something, then the Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth and study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly divide it. So you study things to rightly divide the word of truth. Look at Ephesians 4 and look at verse 14. And it tells you that, watch out, here it comes. It says, verse 12, or back up to verse 10. He that ascended is the same also that descended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and that was in the book of Acts, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. For what? Why did he give it to it? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not so they can get rich.
Amen.
Not so they can build a big old place and have big old mansions and jet planes and all that stuff. But what most evangelists and preachers now, that these days, they look at the people as, these are my income.
That's right.
This is my, I'm going to shear the sheep. I didn't know this, that John Hagee is one of the best preachers on TV. Mm-hmm. And they said John Hagee has an 8,000, acre, 8,000 acre farm with all these hired, is worth $40 million. And that's not including the cattle and all that stuff, I guess. These guys on TV, what they do is they preach a prosperity gospel.
Right.
If you're not rich, you're not in good health, you're not doing this, you're not doing right, you're not living right, then and you see that a lot in churches where the guys are preaching prosperity, give me your money and God will bless you. So there was one guy on TV, I forget his name, but he'd get on TV and he said, the phones ain't ringing. He'd be teaching the Bible. And he was a cult, what he really was. And he'd be teaching the Bible. He said, the phones ain't ringing. I ain't teaching nothing else. And then he starts showing his horses running in the fields. Until the phones start ringing again, y'all start sending your money in. I ain't preaching. I ain't teaching.
Wow.
I forget that guy. Anybody remember who that was?
Gene Scott.
Gene Scott. There you go. That was Gene Scott. We'd watch him just because it was funny. It was funny. There was a clown. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave it to him. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up.
Amen.
We tell our kids, grow up. God wants you to grow up.
Amen. Amen.
He wants us to grow up.
Right.
How you grow? Eating the word of God. It says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, of whom the whole body fitly joint together. It says, compact by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of the every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so the doctrine is very important. If not, you don't know nothing, you'll be deceived quickly. That's why the Bible says don't be deceived. Is that be not hence no more children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine. So go 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 3. Back at verse 1. And I'm going through these verses about doctrine so you'll understand how important doctrine is. It's important. And doctrine is a teaching. It's being a taught. It's a doctrine that Jesus taught. And the Apostle Paul taught and for the church and the church age. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandments of God, our Savior in Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. You know what the Mormons do? They go into genealogies, and then they say, okay, you got loved ones back there that weren't Mormon, so you can get baptized for the dead. Yeah. They baptize people. You could probably be baptized 100 times. They'll find a genealogy. They have one room that's isolated, and they have air. I mean, it's at a certain temperature all the time to keep all these documents in it, so they can keep genealogies of their families and go way back. So then if their families, they weren't sure they were saved, so they baptize, the elders will baptize them in the water for their relatives to make sure they go to heaven. But it costs money. Of course it costs money. So it's a lie. And guess what? The Mormon church was supposed to be, at one time, the fastest growing church in the world. And people believe a lie. He said it last night. He said this. He said, you know, truth will still be putting their boots on while a lie goes around the world three times. Now, look at this. We got to get ready to stop here in a minute. But he says, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies. What's some of the fables that's out there? Anybody got any idea?
Islam, Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church is Islam, a bunch of different doctrines, lies. What's another fable? Anybody got any fables? Mary crying.
Yeah.
Jesus was married. Mary had children. Mary Magdalene had children by Jesus. They made movies about it.
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene had, and then they show statues of Mary crying. They put tubes up in the thing and, you know.
French toast that looks like Mary.
Yeah, French toast that looks like Mary. All kinds of fables, man. And people will flock if they hear about something, you know, maybe a cloud that looks like Jesus. Everybody will flock to it.
They sold hundreds of nails that put Jesus on the cross. Yeah,
I was telling them last night, yeah, they figured up all the crosses that the church says they have, the Catholic Church has. They said you could fill 40 boxcars of all the crosses that they claim they have. They sell that stuff. What fables, man. It's a racket. It's a money-making racket. That's what it is. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister question. You know, somebody be saying, well, I was asleep the other night. I woke up, and Jesus was right there beside me. And I was looking at him, and he told me he's going to make me rich. Now, so you had that dream. Now, if the Lord wants to make you rich, he can make you rich. And I believe the Bible says the Lord's everywhere. Now, I believe this. I believe the Lord shows up to people that's dying. I believe he walks in the room and they're, I believe that.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus. That's one of the fables. Santa Claus. You know what? They get that from the Bible.
That's right.
Santa Claus is not real. They get that from the Bible. They make Santa Claus, what the Bible says Jesus Christ is going to wear a vest dipped in blood. It's all red. So, look at here. Neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which minister question, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now unto the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, of faith unfeigned. But from which some have swerved from turn aside and vain janglings. Some have swerved. You know what? You swerve, you might end up getting killed. I'm talking about this reason why it came to my mind. I just heard on the news this morning, coming to church or yesterday, a guy. He fell asleep up on 495, where 295 and 495 split, fell asleep, hit a barrier. He went over to the woods, flipped over, but didn't get hurt. He got out of his car. He was still staggering, but he got on the phone. He's walking along, and he's calling 911, and somebody came along, hit him, and killed him. And he kept on going. They don't know who it was. My Lord, can you imagine you hit somebody? You live with that? It says, from some have swerved, have turned aside on the vain janglings, desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Amen. For we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the unlawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers, for fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurers, persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to what?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. So we establish the doctrine is important, man. Very important. Now, let's go a couple more places. Go to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy 4. Here we are. This is where we're at right now.
Yes, sir.
This is the day and age we live right here and now.
Yes, right.
It says, chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, what Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Capital S. The Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. You know when a guy tries to seduce a woman, he got to get her drunk. A seducing spirit takes over of somebody. Seduces them,
right.
and to get what they want. And doctrines of what?
Devils.
Doctrines of devils. And it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
That's
and that's where we're at, man. We're at that point right now in Christianity where people are not giving heed to sound doctrine. Now look at verse 6. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be, verse 4. Received with thanksgiving. That's anything. If you had to eat it, then look at verse 3, forbidding to marry, commanding that you abstain from meats, like the Catholic Church, you know, Good Friday, eat only fish, which God have created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. As long as you pray over, if you're eating a snake, if that's all you got to eat, you're eating it, you pray over it, you say, God bless us, Lord, I need something, and you pray over it. For every creature of God, verse 4, is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables to exercise thyself on the godliness. So it's important to have sound doctrine, to know what you believe, why you believe it. And if you don't, then you'll get messed up. Let's go to 2 Timothy, one more place. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and who persecuted, I endured. And it says, but out of all them, the Lord delivered me. And Paul taught doctrine, and that's where you get 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, you get Corinthians, you get, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Philippians. You got all these doctrines that you're supposed to know. And we're going to go through some doctrines that we believe at this church, what we believe that be the truth, amen, and can't be disputed when it comes to the Word of God. We believe it. And if you can't back it up with the Word of God and be sound with it, and with Scripture, and not just taking one little verse and trying to prove some crazy doctrine,
that's right, preacher. Amen.
You got to read the verses before and after and keep it within the context what it's talking about. So anyway, that's what we'll get into next Sunday. All right, Father, thank you again for your Word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for sound doctrine. I pray God help us to stay with the book. And always stay by the book, Lord, and help us not to sway from it and swerve from it. And help our brothers and sisters not to swerve from sound doctrine, Lord God. We thank you, God, for just being giving us the truth. And you entrusted us with the truth. And you've entrusted my brothers and sisters all over this world. Anybody can have the truth if they want it. And I remember, Lord, when I was a young Christian, didn't know nothing. And still couldn't even read. And I remember saying, God, don't let me get messed up. Don't let me get messed up. And every time I turn around, some cult or somebody come along and start trying to convert me. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, to stay to the truth and hold truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, God. And I pray, God, help us to pray, the Lord, that you keep us faithful to the truth and love the truth. And the Bible says, love the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. And I pray, oh my Father, help us to love the truth and sound doctrine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, take about a 5-minute break and we'll come back.